Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. When you have kids, you want them to do well. You know that the world is getting more competitive all the time, and they're going to have to be competitive in order to compete. Sounds obvious, but it's not. And how do you push your kids, or not push them, encourage them, kind of nudge them to be competitive, to get into competitive activities without being a total jerk? Well, hopefully, Dr. Hillary Levy Friedman, she can help us figure that out. She's a sociologist at Harvard University. She's our guest for this half hour talking about Playing to Win, her book that she wrote, Raising Children in a Competitive Culture. And Dr. Friedman, welcome to The Source.
Thanks so much for having me.
So how do we help our kids become competitive without being a jerk?
Well, not everyone has figured this out. And if I had this totally figured out, I'd be a very rich woman. But what I can tell you is that based on my research with 95 families, I do think that it's important to expose our kids to competition when they're in elementary school, because what that does is it provides a safe space for kids to learn not only how to win, but more importantly, how to lose. And when you learn to do that when you're young and bounce back and be resilient and come back to try and compete again when you're younger, it means you're better prepared to handle these more competitive settings that you're going to face in high school when you take the SATs or when you compete in a sports championship and all those sorts of things.
Now, in your book, you say that this is a type of capital that children are accumulating. These are the coins of the realm. If you have the trophies and the accolades and the titles, then these can be spent on getting into great schools, and then school, and then employers, investment bankers, or what have you, look at these accomplishments and say, "This is a go-getter. This guy's a guy. He's got the killer instinct. This is the guy I want on my team." Is that how it works?
Yeah, it does work that way, because a lot of schools are looking for ambitious students, but it's hard for a student to just say, "Oh, I'm ambitious." You know, anyone can say that. You have to prove it. But it's not just that you're winning the titles. You could be the second place finisher all the time and still be accumulating what I call competitive kid capital. And those are skills that are going to, you know, be transferable throughout life. So, like I mentioned before, bouncing back from a loss to win in the future, learning how to perform in stressful environments, all of those are skills that will serve you not just when you're 8 or 18, but also when you're 48.
But you say that these are things, skills that you can pick up through competitive sports, or you write a lot about chess.
Yes.
You think highly of chess. Why chess?
Well, chess is a great example of an academic activity that's more intellectual. You know, not every child is going to be athletic. Not every child is going to be artistic. And chess is one option for younger kids. As you get older and you move into middle school, there are things like geography bees and spelling bees. But particularly when you're in elementary school, chess is a great option. And chess helps kids develop strategies to learn that every move you make has a consequence, to make a plan and stick with it. And I really like the sportsmanship that's associated with chess. So before each game, when you play in a tournament, you shake your opponent's hand. At the end of the game, you also have to shake your opponent's hand. And those are, again, are just good life skills to develop.
Well, you're right about some people that will try to psych, even parents try to intimidate and psych out the opposite kid's behavior in their play.
That's right. That's right. So, in most chess tournaments, actually, parents are not allowed to be in the room, or there's a special a pen for the parents to stand in. And that's parents, you know, have been known not just in chess, certainly in sports as well, to behave in unbecoming ways toward other parents, toward referees. So this is a problem across the board. You know, it's important to develop competitive skills in kids, but we don't want to do that at the expense of other things. And some parents haven't quite gotten that message.
So there's a balancing act here that has to be accomplished. You want to push. No, is pushing, is when I say push, is it pushing? Is it nudging? Is it suggesting? Is it demanding? What do? To get your kids to go out and do this stuff? If they don't want to do it, do you make them do it?
I think suggesting is a good word to use. What you want to do, I like to liken it to a buffet approach. You want to offer your kids a lot of options and ultimately let them decide what they want to go back and get seconds of. So it's parents' responsibility to expose their kids not just to the activities that the parent is most interested in, but other options in case the child, you know, isn't great at basketball, you know, can't make a shot to save his or her life. but might be the most amazing ballet dancer. And so we want to offer kids those options and expose them and then be supportive when they decide that they either don't want to do it anymore or that they want to take it to the next level. It's interesting. We often think about parents who push their kids. But in some cases, there are kids who are pushing their parents into these activities. And I had many, many parents say to me, sitting here all weekend in the basement of a school cafeteria while my child plays in a chess tournament. That would have been unimaginable, but it's something that their child loves, and so they're going to be supportive both with their time and their money.
Well, my daughter is a fantastic writer. She's in high school, and she loves to write these great stories. And say, hey, you know, let's get these things published. Let's send them out. Let's see what we can do to get, you know. She says, Dad, I'm not the competitive type. And so, you know, and should I override her? Should I say, no, come on. It's because she's never tasted the juice. What should I respond to that?
Well, I do think it's important, you know, presumably if your daughter is interested in writing, she probably wants to go on to college and perhaps other advanced degrees. And like I said, it is important to have this track record of success. And so it might be worth it to try in a, you know, not a high stakes, not the most competitive writing competition, but to try it out and see what the experience is like. And in some sense, a writing competition might be great for a kid who is not interested in sort of the aggressive one-on-one face down your competitor. And there's not quite the same sense of pressure that you have to go through when you're performing under a time limit. So in fact, I think for less competitive kids, you know, we all have different personality types, but it is important to develop these traits, and that could be a great option because you're not being judged or told you didn't win or that you did win right to your face.
So as a sociologist, how much is the competitive culture, it's not universal, it is fragmented. There are some parts of some demographics or feed off it more so than others, right?
That's right. So a lot of the book, Playing to Win, Raising Children in a Competitive Culture, concentrates on the middle class, and particularly an affluent upper middle class that you might think, oh, they're doing great and clearly their kids are going to do well. But there's a lot of insecurity there. Most people end up in the upper middle class because they have acquired academic credentials. They've gone to medical school. They've gone to law school, for example. But you cannot simply pass on your medical degree or your law degree to your kids. All you can do is give them the tools to succeed so that they can hopefully pursue those same sorts of avenues. And so there's a lot of stress there for parents. How do I prepare my child? And this competition that's developed among children is really a result of that. And a lot of that insecurity, particularly in our more unstable economic times.
We are talking with Harvard sociologist Hillary Levy Friedman. She wrote the book Playing to Win, Raising Children in a Competitive Culture. We're going to take a quick break and we will continue the conversation. If you want to join in the conversation, the phone number is 614-8980, 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're having a conversation with Dr. Hillary Levy Friedman. She is a sociologist at Harvard University. She wrote the book Playing to Win, Raising Children in a Competitive Culture. What I'm concerned about when you have children and you want them to compete and you have this stress on winning at all costs, that sometimes you kind of can backfire. Kids say, that's it. I've had enough of this. I'm just going to – you don't really love me for being me, but you love me for the sum of my accomplishments.
That's right. That's a major concern if children think their whole identity and self-worth is wrapped up in one particular identity. And that's why it's important to both make sure that your child has an interest themselves in the activities that they're doing, so that the buffet approach that I mentioned before, where the child has a voice and a choice, is quite important. So we don't want all the identity to be wrapped up in that. The other concern that I have related to this is that when children are pushed and forced to specialize when they're quite young, this can result in a lot of overuse injuries by the time they're in high school as well. And so it's not just a psychological toll, but also potentially a physical toll as well.
So you do see a benefit to kids in development of their character in having them engage in some level of competitive activity. This is an overall a positive for them.
If it's done in the right way. So if a parent is too wrapped up in it, perhaps if a parent is at every single practice, that would be a sign that there's a little bit too much going on, that the child maybe doesn't have as much interest on their own or as much agency on their own. And it's not just their parents. There are other adults involved with these activities. And so if a particular teacher or coach is too wrapped up in one particular child or the win-loss record, some of these messages can be lost. So it's important that all the adults who are involved in these competitive kid activities, because of course they could not exist without the adults to organize them and run them, it's important that they try to approach this competition in a healthy way so that the more positive aspects of competitive kid capital can be brought out.
Let's go to the phones. Our number is 614-8980, and Ray wants to join the conversation. Ray, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks. Hi, Dr. Freeman. My question briefly is about the sports organization who tell the kids that there are no losers. Everyone gets a trophy. If the score looks like it's getting run up, you know, they'll turn the score off because they don't want the other kids to see, you know, that they're really not that good. How do you reconcile that with your child? My son just stopped going to that particular sports club because he was like, Dad, everybody gets a trophy. There are no losers. How do you know who won?
All right, Ray, thanks for that call.
That's a very good point, and your son is very smart, and he's like the other 40 kids that I interviewed. There's a whole chapter in Playing to Win about what the kids think about this. And in short, the kids are savvy. Maybe that first participation trophy that they got means something to them. But in general, they're like, oh, well, people tell us it's important to win, or it doesn't matter, but why do they give us these trophies? Why do we all get a trophy, but, you know, my friend got the bigger trophy because he got first place. And so what this does is it makes kids distrust what other things that adults tell them. And so the psychological research as well indicates that when you introduce an extrinsic reward, like a trophy or even just a certificate, that takes something away from the intrinsic motivation of a child. So you might have had a child who absolutely loved to draw, for example, but as soon as you give them an award for drawing, when the experimenters went back 3 weeks later and said, hey, could you draw another picture? The child immediately said, well, what do I get for it? So we have to be really careful when it comes to these, everybody gets a trophy, we don't keep score, the kids 100% keep score. And the children I met only wanted to get something if they really felt that they had earned it. And in some ways, we should listen to the kids because they are putting out the right message that perhaps gets lost for adults sometimes.
So we've had that phenomenon for at least a generation of everyone gets a trophy, and we're kind of seeing what the impact of that is. And I deal with some young people, and I call them generation participant. They're not accustomed to taking criticism or being told what to do or to losing because they've always gotten the ribbon and a little trophy for just showing up.
That's right, and that's why I do think it's important to expose kids to competition when they're younger, when it doesn't matter as much, when they can fail in a safe environment. Because let's face it, we are all going to fail at something in our lives, often more than once. We're not going to get the job we want. Maybe we won't get the romantic partner that we want. We won't get into the college we want, wherever it might be. But there are a lot of competitions in life, and you are not always going to come in first place or be the person who makes the cut. And we want to raise children who can say, okay, I didn't get that, but I'm going to come back and get something else. And these sorts of organized competitions, particularly when you're 8, 9, or 10 years old, can help you develop those skills early on so you don't panic when it does matter more.
Okay, back to the phones. Kathy is on the line. Kathy, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. I just wanted to make a comment. I'm a teacher of gifted and talented students, and I am going to disagree with the whole competition notion that it's needed. I find that it's more important for my students and for children to learn how to work together. in cooperation. I don't think that the problems of this world can be solved with competition, rather with cooperation and working together to solve those problems. Two brains are better than one. Five brains are better than two.
Okay, Dr. Friedman?
Yeah, well, these are not mutually exclusive. We don't only have to have cooperation or only have competition. And in fact, we need a bit of both. And in particular, if we take soccer as an example, which is a team sport, it's seen as you've got to rely on your teammates, you have to cooperate in order to succeed and to win. It's not an individual activity. And many of the parents who I interviewed, who themselves were lawyers or investment bankers, one mom in particular told me, you know, we look specifically when we're hiring female candidates, we look for women who played hockey, for example, or soccer, and who know how to both cooperate and be part of a team, but also be competitive and be dedicated. So it's not an either-or proposition. We need both in our society and both in ourselves as individuals.
So, Kathy, does that wash with you? Do you think that kids do need competitiveness and they do also need to know how to work together in a non-competitive situation?
I think that you really, I mean, not that all competition is bad, but I do believe that the problem solving is what needs to be, the cooperation is what needs to be focused on rather than the competition. More in competitions, there's always more losers than there are winners. But when you cooperate, when you work together to solve problems, everyone is a winner.
Okay.
Well, there are some great
Kathy,
opportunities
thank you for, that.
For gifted and talented kids these days, robotics competitions where you participate as part of a team. When I was younger, I did something called Odyssey of the Mind. And so there are opportunities where you're part of a team, and a lot of kids and parents specifically said, oh, if my children are going to compete, I want them to be part of a team so the focus isn't only on them, so they can learn to rely on others. So if that's something that's important to parents, you can opt for those sorts of activities for your child as opposed to chess, for example, which is more of an individual, or tennis, or, you know, sporting events like that.
Matt is on the line. Let's get Matt in this conversation. Welcome to The Source, Matt.
Thanks. So my question was, what if you sort of see the light in, and I'm speaking about my daughter who's 10, for there's a little edge of, you know, there's this, I get a sense of competitiveness in her, but there hasn't really been any sport that she's gravitated to. We've done the things where we've introduced her to soccer, or at her school, her elementary school, they introduce them to different sports. How can you keep pushing that without, you know, being overbearing if they haven't sort of shown an interest in anything?
Okay, thanks for that question, Matt. So what's the answer to that?
Yeah, no, that's a difficult one, and perhaps sports aren't the thing she's most interested in. You know, it's interesting with lots of different activities being shown on TV these days. Some parents, you know, don't want their kids to watch TV, of course, but a show like Dance Moms, which has all sorts of problems on its own, but it's exposed kids who might not have seen competitive dance and given them the opportunity to say, oh, I'm interested in that. A few years ago, the Disney Channel did a movie on competitive jump roping and double dutch and that sort of thing. And so it's worth sort of thinking outside the box, something like double dutch or other activities that are out there that might not be as mainstream, and saying, oh, are you interested in this? Let's watch this documentary about Irish dancing or something like that and see what interests her without getting her, you know, into a classroom, into a commitment for an entire semester, that sort of thing.
And it's also, I guess, you have a role model. You know, if dad is out there competing in something, whether it be playing baseball or running 5Ks or something, that's contagious in the family.
That's right. Certainly kids are going to respond better to what they know. So often you see if you have more than one child, a second child might, you know, start early in a particular activity because they've just been exposed to it. Some might reject it because they say, I don't want to do what big brother or big sister does. But often they sort of have a head start because they see someone else in the family doing it.
What's a quick warning sign if competition is being taken to a toxic place?
Well, I met several kids who complained to me that they had a stomach ache every time they had to go to a chess tournament or something like that. That's a definite warning sign. You know, once in a while, every child is going to say, I don't want to go to practice. I don't want to do it today. I'd rather do something else. But if they start saying that every single week, that's a warning sign as well.
All right. Hillary Levy Friedman, she's a sociology professor at Harvard University. She does have a book reading in town at Barnes & Noble on the 22nd, author of Playing to Win, Raising Children in a Competitive Culture. This is The Source on KSTX.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.